Discovering Christ in Revelation, Chapter 59, Face-to-Face with Christ our Savior. Reading from the book of Revelation, Chapter 22, Verse 4, And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. Heaven is set before us in the Scriptures by many pictures of bliss awaiting God's elect in eternity. Heaven is a place prepared for us. It is the everlasting kingdom. It is eternal glory. Heaven is our purchased inheritance. It is the city of God and of the Lamb. It is our home. Heaven is our final resting place. These and many other descriptive phrases fill our hearts with joy and anticipation, but here is the greatest bliss of the eternal state, the consummation of glory, the very heaven of heaven. And they shall see his face. When the Lord said to Moses, Thou canst not see my face and live, he was speaking to a mere mortal upon the earth. Those words have no reference to those who have put on immortality and incorruption. In the coming glory land, every child of God will see the face of our God and live. Indeed, it is this sight of Christ which will be the essence and excellence of our life. We shall see face to face the one who is the brightness of the Father's glory and the express image of his person. This is the heaven that awaits us. Face to face with Christ my Savior, face to face, what will it be? When with rapture I behold him, Jesus Christ who died for me. Well, what is this heavenly vision? Some people have very earthbound and unscriptural ideas about heaven. Some think of heaven only as a place where they can gratify their earthly desires. They seem to think only of the comforts and pleasures that heaven might bring them in a natural physical way. To them, the streets of gold, the gates of pearl, and the walls of jasper are enough. I've even heard men talk about heaven as though it were a place that would gratify their religious pride and self-righteousness. Some religious denominations actually seem to imagine that their particular brand of religion will give them a place of superiority in glory, and that the rest of God's saints will be beneath them and serve them. All such worldly ideas of heaven must be rejected. However, there are many things in heaven that we shall see and enjoy. We shall see the holy angels who have ministered to us throughout our earthly pilgrimage. Men and women of flesh and bones will commune with cherubim and seraphim. We shall see and know Gabriel and all the heavenly hosts. We shall see the patriarchs who served God in those early days of time. We shall even know those men and women who walked with God before the flood, such as Abel, Enoch, Noah. We shall see and know the apostles and prophets, those martyrs with whose blood the pages of church history are written will be there. Those brethren with whom we have enjoyed sweet fellowship upon the earth will be there. And we shall see again our loved ones who fell asleep in Christ Jesus. Without question, in our glorified state, earthly ties will no longer divide us, but the saints in glory will know one another, just as Peter, James, and John knew Moses and Elijah when they appeared with them on the Mount of Transfiguration. Yet, for all of this, the greatest joy and fullness of heaven will be the fact that we shall see Christ himself face to face. That which we desire above all else in heaven is the sight of Christ. With the psalmist we most gladly declare, Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. Christ is all in all. To us here, as we long for heaven in which he will be all in all for us forever. Here upon the earth, it was a sight of Christ which first turned our sorrow into joy. The daily renewal of communion with Christ lifts us up above the cares of this world. Even here we say, if we have Christ, we have enough. If Christ is all to us now, what will he be in glory? The paradise of God is a heaven of intense, eternal, spiritual fellowship with Christ. Heaven is a place where it is promised that they shall see his face. Moses, we are told, saw his back parts, he saw the train of his majesty, but there we shall see his face. We shall literally see our Savior's face. Though he is glorified, that very man who died at Calvary is upon the throne of glory, we shall see him, the God-man. What a sight that will be for redeemed sinners! We shall see our well-beloved, his hands, his feet, his side, his head, and his face. We shall literally see him who loved us and gave himself for us. Even sweeter is the fact that we shall enjoy a perfect spiritual sight of our Redeemer. This text seems to imply a greater ability in the next world by which we shall be able to see Christ more fully. Here, upon the earth, the very best of us are only infants. Now we know in part. Now we see through a shaded glass. But in heaven, we shall see the Savior face to face. And we shall know even as we are known. We shall see Christ in such a way that we shall know him. We shall know the heights, the depths, length, and breadth of the love of Christ that passes knowledge. We shall see the Savior always. The saints in heaven will never cease to see him. We shall never cease to embrace our Savior. It is not so now. Sometimes we are near the throne, at other times we are far off. Sometimes we are as bright as the angels, at other times we are as dull as lead. At times we are hot with love, but at other times we are cold with indifference. But the day will soon come when we shall forever be in the closest possible association with Christ. Then we shall see his face without ceasing, and we shall see our Savior's face as it is now in the fullness of his glory. John gave us a little glimpse of that in Revelation chapter 1, 13 to 16. Turn to that passage when you can and rejoice in the prospect of this blessed hope. How are we going to see Christ in glory? The word see in this text implies a clear, full, undimmed sight of Christ. We shall see Christ clearly because everything that hinders our sight of him here will be removed. Our sins and our old sinful nature will be completely removed. All those earthly cares that now cloud our vision will be taken out of the way. All our sorrows will be ended. And there, nothing will stand between us and our Savior. In glory, there will be no rival in our hearts. We shall love Christ supremely. We shall see Christ personally. Now we see him by faith, but then faith will be turned to sight. And we shall see Christ personally for ourselves. The language of Job is a proper description of the future prospect that awaits every believer. Job chapter 19, verses 25 to 27 as your reference. We shall see our Savior in all the fullness of his person and work. Fully beholding his glorious person, we shall see him who is God over all and blessed forever in the perfection of his glorified manhood. In that day, we shall see Christ in the fullness of his covenant engagements and in the perfection of all his mediatorial offices as our surety, prophet, priest, king, husband, shepherd, and substitute. In the world to come, we shall see Christ in the fullness of his saving grace. Then we shall know the meaning of electing love. Then we shall know the price of blood atonement. Then we shall know the power of his priestly intercession. Then we shall know the goodness of his preserving grace, and when we see his face, our eyes will be full of adoration for him alone. In that world of glory to come, there will be no voice heard that speaks of the power of man's free will or the goodness of man's works. In that day, we shall say, "Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name be honor and power and glory and dominion forever and ever." Why will this vision of Christ be the greatest bliss and joy of heaven? I have said that seeing Christ face to face is the heaven of heaven, the glory of glory. But why do we place such importance upon this one aspect of our eternal inheritance? Well, the answer should be obvious. When we see him, our salvation will be complete. Soon, the resurrection day will come, and all men will see the great God and Savior. When the wicked see his face, they will be consumed in his fierce wrath. But we shall see him and live. We shall be like the burning bush, glowing with the glory of God, but not consumed. We will stand in the presence of God in perfect salvation. Every spot of sin will be eradicated from our souls. Our bodies will be made immortal, incorruptible, glorious. When we see his face, we shall be conscious of his favor and enjoy perfect and uninterrupted fellowship with him. In glory we shall walk with God perfectly. Not until we see his face will we fully know the meaning of being one with him. When we see him, there will be a complete transformation. We shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We shall see things as he sees them, think as he thinks, will what he wills, love what he loves, and hate what he hates, perfectly. When we see the face of the Son of God, we shall be perfectly satisfied. To whom is this promise given? The apostle tells us that those who will see the face of Christ are none but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Every one of those who are the objects of God's eternal grace will see his face. Every soul that was chosen by God in the council of love will see Christ in the courts of glory. Everyone who was predestined to be a son of God will be his son. Every soul for whom Jesus died at Calvary will see his face in heaven. They are accepted, pardoned, justified, sanctified, and purchased. And they will see him, every man, woman, and child who is called by the Spirit of God and regenerated by divine power will see his face. Everyone that repents of his sin and believes on Christ will see him. Every heart that bows in submission to King Jesus will see the King in his beauty. Everyone who loves Christ will see Christ. They may have been the vilest, most abominable wretches ever to walk upon the earth, but they are washed, they are justified, they are sanctified, and they shall see his face. They will all, with equal clearness, see the face of Christ. I read of no secondary joys in heaven. There are no back streets in the New Jerusalem. I can find no more foundation in the Scriptures for the doctrine of rewards in heaven than I can for the doctrine of purgatory. All the saints of God will see the Savior's face. What more can anyone want? The dying thief went with Christ to paradise, and so did Paul. Heaven is altogether the reward of grace, not of debt, and it will be possessed to the full by the heirs of grace. All the saved are loved by God with a perfect love. All were chosen in Christ. We all have the same blessings of grace in the covenant. We are all redeemed by the same blood. We are all accepted in the same righteousness. We are all the sons of God upon the same grounds, and we all have the same hope of glory. Heaven was earned and bought for us by the Son of God, and it will be given to us in all its fullness. In this world of sorrow, comfort yourself with this hope. They who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ shall see his face.